We are here in New Ulm, Minnesota at the Synod Convention. And Sally and I are celebrating episode 300. We're joined by a bunch of different guests. We talked a little bit about some of the past and a lot more. Stay tuned.
This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome to Wells Tech. This is episode 300 for June 30th, 2013. And you notice some different things already, Sally.
Yeah,
first of all, we're right together. We're wearing the same shirt.
That's right. I got the memo. I managed to do that correctly.
And those of you that are watching the archive show, you heard new intro music, new logo, and you kind of see that behind us. And where are we, Sally?
We are live from Synod Convention 2013. And behind us is the Synod Convention floor. They're on a break right now, and just lots of exciting things going on here.
Yep. A couple other different things here. We have a full production crew, a professional. Lee Hitter's helping us. He's here doing some shots for Synod Convention, doing a great job. And Debbie Kameen is at the behind the controls, sound and video, so that's helpful.
That's right.
And maybe for the first time ever, we have a studio audience.
A live studio audience.
We don't have a shot of them, but trust us, they're out there.
Fans of Wells Tech abound. Huh?
So 300 episodes, that's not 300 weeks, we should clarify, but it's not too far short.
Right. I think about 5.5 years we've been doing this. Started in January of 2008. Our first interview was with Brian Schaefer from Final Web, and here we are 5.5 years later, still talking about technology. Technology's changing every day.
Yep.
And there's so many exciting things to do in terms of ministry. So
I think that was what went through our minds when he first started this. We thought we were starting to kind of cogitate over a podcast back in 07.
Yep.
And we thought, you know, what is a good avenue or vehicle to get this good information out to more than just, you know, the people in the Synod office? And so, you know, I had the idea of having three people at that time. Mm-hmm. There was another individual, Steve Zambo, actually, in the Synod office, who was in the media biz, so to speak. And then we wanted a pretty face.
A southern accent. That's
and
right.
We got both of those, and we've kept that. So, and the rest is, as they say, history.
That's right. And we started with audio only, did that for 250 episodes. Last summer we added video, and we've been doing Google Hangouts every week since then.
Yep. So. How did you feel about that, Sally?
I didn't feel good about that, Martin, and here we sit with a live audience. You know, I guess it grows on you, and we've kind of figured out the video arena as well.
You have to broaden your horizons.
That's right. Technology
just like technology changed. Moves, you know, people were saying, well, what about video? What about video?
Right. So. Exactly. It's been fun at Synod Convention to see some of those people we've interviewed on video. They were little like this on my webcam, and now I get to meet them face to face. I always like meeting Wells Techers.
Yep. And that's a neat part, too. We meet a lot of different people, not always just Wells people, but we meet other people through the interview process that we get on. Some of those are some of my favorite interviews. Sally, who are your favorite interviews throughout the 300 years or 300 episodes we've
had?
You
know, one that sticks with me probably more than any other, you'll be surprised maybe, but it was when we interviewed Gonzalo de Gadillo. Gonzalo talked to us about the work through multi-language publications
right.
and his Spanish outreach. And he just has such a heart for ministry, and it shows. I think we maybe did two segments with Gonzalo's interview because it was just really great stuff. So
yeah.
That's
and it's not so much what he said, but how he said it. And you mm-hmm. can just hear this is everything from the heart.
Right.
And that's neat to connect ministry, and that's what we're trying to do, connect the ministry, you know, and the technology in a very real and very passionate way, because
mm-hmm.
that's really what it's all about. I mean, we geeks get excited about technology because
yeah.
it's shiny, it's new,
there you go.
It's cool, and but really why we're here is the ministry side.
Right.
So I've got a couple favorite interviews. One's probably not going to surprise you.
Okay.
Tony Vincent.
Yeah, I figured we'd go there.
What's the story behind that?
The story behind it is Martin makes me pick worst picks every year. So we do our picks of the week every week, and at the end of the year we recap that with a best and worst. And one of my worst happened to be a wonderful website called Learning in Hand, run by a guy named Tony Vincent. He's just a tech, ed tech kind of guru guy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean it was worst in terms of what he puts out. It's great what he puts out. It just didn't fill a niche need for me at the time. I probably wasn't very smart to say that. And the internet revolted against me.
He has some very faithful followers,
that's
apparently.
That's right. They were like, what are you talking about? There's no way he could be the worst of anything. And, of course, they were correct. I was wrong. And he was gracious enough to come on and talk
to us.
That
was awesome.
Even though I insulted him in such a rude way. But, yeah. I kind of swore off picking worst picks.
Yeah, we kind of modified that after that whole deal. So another one of my favorite interviews was with Jesse Rice, the Church of Facebook. It's neat to get authors who've really put their heart and soul in a piece of work or software or whatever and just hear them talk about it, you know, kind of straight from the horse's mouth where we spent a whole, you know, session or, you know, a book review just on, you know, that book.
Right.
And he was able to kind of clarify for us, you know, what the key points are, and it was really enlightening for me. So.
Definitely, yeah. I enjoy having the authors on. We've had authors twice, and the most recent book that we reviewed, Gar Reynolds actually wrote to us. So we got email from the author, so that's pretty good, too.
Yep.
That's exciting. So
okay.
The books have been interesting.
Yep. So, Sal, you've put together a little bit of Wells Tech by the numbers. You know, we thought, well, we've been at this long enough, we probably have some statistics that we could brag on a little bit, right?
it was neat to put together. Speaking of books, we've reviewed 5 books, and typically those last almost a whole year as we read them chapter by chapter each month. We've had 6 different world missionary interviews, so that's neat to connect with missionaries. We've talked to Africa and Mexico and the Far East in different interviews. And I just had to kind of guesstimate on the total number of interviews. I didn't go through and count all of those. I think around 225 interviews that we've done.
Yep.
So we've met a lot of interesting people.
Some of those were repeats, but not too many.
Right.
And many of those folks we just kind of came across through lots of different ways, I guess, through email, through them commenting on the show, through word of mouth, those kind of meeting them at conventions,
media,
social media, absolutely.
Yep. Somebody asked me that the other day, where do you get your ideas? But they kind of just fall in our laps. There's so much going on with technology.
Right.
There's always opportunities. We have broadcast from 7 different places. Which,
is that right?
Yeah, most exotic of which is Natchez, Mississippi, my hometown.
I would agree with that, even
We've
though I've
done
never
that.
Been there.
But I counted both the administration locations, because now you're at the Center for Mission and Ministry, and formerly at the SAB. You've broadcast twice, I think, from Hong Kong, so that's probably the biggest distance that's been between the two of us.
Right.
Yeah,
that's always kind of neat, and it brings with it some technical challenges. So
it
just goes along with the territory.
It's good that you're the technical guru. I don't have to deal with that. I just type, and I can handle typing.
Okay.
So, probably the biggest number I can share with you is the number of picks of the week we've had on the podcast. And I actually did manually go through and count the picks of the week. In 5.5 years, we've had 611 picks of the week between the two of us, plus a few guest hosts.
We always welcome those.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So,
and that's become a little bit of a source of stress for me lately. After 611 picks, you know, and you don't want to do reruns, don't want
to
pick those that are going to maybe land on your worst list either.
That's right.
And for the most part, they're things that we use, you know, on a day in and day out basis for the most part. So
definitely, it's been fun, and we've gotten exposure to new things. I always, you know, like to hear what your picks are and share them with my family and things like that. So, speaking of guest hosts, we've had 8 different guest hosts, 2 regulars that have been with us. Actually, Gail's probably been with us from the very beginning. Gail Potratz and Jason Schmidt has joined us regularly for the last couple of years.
Yep.
They typically tune in for the education perspective, which has been a big component of our podcast.
We don't have real good statistics on number of listeners or viewers. I mean, we have some vague ideas, but based on the feedback we get, I think we get a majority of our feedback, a slight majority, from teachers, you know, people in classroom settings. And I think that's a result of some really good guest hosts. And you're always looking for the educational angle, which is awesome, and the ability to talk with other people about their classroom experiences is a real valuable thing, I think, on the podcast.
It's a pretty revolutionary time with technology and the classrooms and schools going to one-to-one computing and all those different angles of technology and ministry.
Right.
Yep. I put the number one down here for one category, Martin. We have one Wells Tech Hall of Famer. That was a name that I gave to Pastor Rob Gunther. Do you remember that interview?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Gunther's up in Kenai, Alaska. He wrote to me and told me how to pronounce it, so I wouldn't do that wrong. And he is just an all-around amazing tech and ministry pastor and has fed our podcast with so many wonderful examples of ways to use technology to enhance ministry.
Yep.
So he's our Hall of Famer. I wanted to make special mention of him.
So if you're aspiring to anything, that would be one thing.
That's right. We've got room in our Hall of Fame. We could add your name.
Right. It's virtual, so it's actually unlimited. So
that's right.
We don't have to build a second wing. You know,
nope.
We just stack them up. A couple other statistics you put together, giveaways. We've done a few of those, right?
We have.
We hear back occasionally from those recipients. One was a two-time recipient, right?
That's right,
Ryan
Rosenthal. Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. It's funny, I remember where they're located for corresponding with them so much. But it was fun because Ryan purchased a Wells Tech onesie for his baby. So we actually have a picture of a baby wearing a Wells Tech onesie. So there's Wells Tech evangelists out there all over.
That's right.
At all ages.
That's right. Probably not wearing the onesie anymore.
No,
but
maybe a little bit larger than that after 5.5 years.
Yep. And then special series. Something we put a lot of energy into because that takes a lot of planning and a lot of thinking. And we've had how many of those?
We've had 6 different special series. Each summer we've done a special series, and they've ranged from the Wells Hacker, where we kind of told you special ways to get creative with software and things, to we did a road trip one summer where we went all over the country and had maps, and it was just really fun. This summer we're writing an ebook together for the first time as part of our series on church and school website content.
So
lots of different series.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about Synod Convention. So we're here, and that's a big deal every 2 years, and we're in New Ulm this year. The way Synod Convention works, those of you that aren't familiar with it, it rotates around basically 3 locations, 3 Synod schools, Saginaw, Michigan, Watertown, Wisconsin, and New Ulm, Minnesota. All very exotic, all very fun, but it's a matter of which location we're at. So what I do, and now you're doing here, is assisting with just the technology that it takes to make this thing go. One of those things is just the resolution process. Mm-hmm. And how's that been going, Sally? You're helping a lot with that this year.
Kind of kicking off tonight. Actually, our committees are having their first meetings and coming up with resolutions and reports. But we're using the Connect website, our Synod's intranet, to keep all that out in the cloud and keep it moving from place to place, because there's lots of steps involved in how a resolution actually comes into being. So it's been fun to work with the committee secretaries and just lots of technology going on here. We're stressing the wireless networks for sure.
I think so. And obviously another big part of what we do is the live streaming. That started eight years ago. And I remember that really well because we actually got Nebraska Lutheran to loan us their equipment. Basically, we used them from afar. We hooked into them, and I remember pretty clearly we maxed it out at like 50 or 60 viewers.
That's right. There was a cap.
Yep.
That's right.
It was brand new technology that really the Nebraska district had pioneered in the Synod, and we took advantage of that. And then by the time it rolled around again, we had kind of figured, we need to get up to speed. We bought a TriCaster, the same one we're using now, and the rest is history.
Back in the day, I think we were posting files in real media format.
Right.
Yeah, times have changed in terms of internet video.
Yep, okay. So. The show today, Sally, is one that we wanted to involve more than just the two of us. It's a celebration. You can see that we have the celebratory cupcakes.
That's
hopefully
right.
That's in the shot. They have, and you were gracious. Did you do these yourself?
I didn't make the cupcakes. I made decorations.
Okay. So. The little banners say 300th episode with Wells Tech. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. And with the Wells Tech colors.
Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. But we wanted to do for this show, since we're at convention and we have a lot of, there's 500 delegates here and also advisors, is to find some that, some we've had on before and some we haven't, just to talk about technology and what they do and maybe some of their impressions in the Synod.
Definitely.
So, we ready with number one?
Yeah, I think Josh could come and join us first.
Come on in, Josh. Just make sure the mic is on, and he dressed for the occasion, too.
Wow.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Doing all right. Nice
Hi.
To see you guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. This is Josh Shainick. He is Director of Technology at Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School.
That's correct.
Happy to have you here.
Thanks.
Is this your first convention?
It is the first convention I've been able to come to.
So. Okay, great. And I think the flavor, you've probably already got the flavor from opening service and just some of the things that have gone on in day one. We're pretty early on in the process.
Yep.
Any early impressions of your first convention?
Seems like things are running pretty smoothly and there's a lot of connectedness. I know we got a chance for Sally and you to introduce us to the technology on Connect yesterday. I serve as a secretary on one of the floor committees, so we were able to go through that process.
Yep.
Awesome.
Now the Connect technology based on Microsoft is probably a little to the left of your sight lines these days because you guys are all about Chromebooks and or Google Apps, right?
Google
At
Apps.
Kettle,
yep.
Right? Okay.
We're headed in that direction, very definitely.
Okay. So how's that going? Where are you in the process?
Right now we are in the process of trying to get our school to be in a position to do a one-to-one initiative probably
awesome.
Next year. And the foundation of that is really the Google Apps piece because it's available on any device that you want. We'd like our kids to each have their own device and bring in anything that works essentially that can get them onto a Google Apps.
Right.
Excellent. And what kind of infrastructure do you have to put in place now to be able to support all those devices?
So this summer I'm in the midst of upgrading our wireless infrastructure. We're putting a wireless access point in every classroom. We're also in the middle of a building project adding on, and so we'll be extending our wireless into that area as well. At the middle of this last year, we also upgraded our internet bandwidth. Great blessing that we were able to jump from about 7 meg to about 100 meg connection.
Oh.
So that makes a huge difference.
I bet.
You can
yep.
see that, I'm sure.
Yep.
You felt that.
Yeah. How many kids do you need to support then?
We have about 400 students at
Cal. All right. And I suppose you went into this with eyes wide open, did your research. You know, what are some of your concerns as you move forward?
A big concern is stability of the internet, being able to maintain a connection to that because you suddenly become very dependent
right,
on it.
Right.
At the same time, the amount of stability that it has is probably getting to the point where it's as good as our local network
okay.
is. There's, if Google goes down, it's a problem for a lot more people than just me and probably more likely to have more people working on it to
right.
get fixed.
Right.
Very good. You sound like a busy guy.
Yes.
What's going on?
Yep.
So
are you going to have help with the administration of this or is it all on you?
In my situation, I'm pretty much the only guy on staff that handles that. I teach two periods a day and then the rest of my day is usually spent dealing with technology
okay.
stuff.
So. And the administrative interface, at least my experience with it, and Sally, now you've got
yeah.
more experience,
yeah.
makes that possible, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are configurations, there's wholesale kind of groupings you can put together that you can dump the kids in and,
yep.
and they can get that same experience, then you have control over it.
Correct.
Okay.
That's
cool.
Really exciting from an administrative standpoint. It cuts down on a lot of time to just
it
push
does.
Out policies like
it
that.
It does.
Yep.
So, what
good.
Else is going on KML campus technology-wise that you're working on?
Well, our big deal right now is the addition of our Performing Arts Center,
uh-huh.
and so I'm heavily involved with that. We're looking forward to having some high-tech acoustic treatments and sound system in
yep.
there. We've, up until this point, we've always had our concerts and everything in our gymnatorium,
if you
want to use our term. So we're really looking forward to some improvement there. We're hoping in the future to try doing some live streaming stuff in that new
Sweet.
Facility.
Yep.
So the internet bandwidth that we have and the infrastructure should help with that.
Okay. How are you bringing the faculty along? That's obviously a big concern when you roll out something like this. The kids, they'll adopt it. They're flexible. The faculty, not always so much.
My faculty has been great.
Awesome.
They are very accepting of trying new things. Not all of them are super adept at that. But they're willing to try some things, and I've been very happy with the way that they work together to try and figure things out and come and ask me for help when we get stuck on something.
Great.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome.
We'd love to follow along as you go one-to-one with your devices next year.
I'm looking forward to it.
From your experience, for sure. All right. Thanks,
Josh.
Yep, appreciate thanks, guys.
Blessings on your work this week. So.
And on your stuff today, too.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks.
We haven't had Josh on before, had we?
I don't think so, but he's definitely corresponded with us.
Yeah,
He's in the Wells Tech family. That's right.
Yeah, we should have given him a cupcake.
Yeah, Josh, you
hey,
need
Josh,
a cupcake.
You want a cupcake?
To go. Celebrate.
You have to
with
take
us.
One. Yeah. Kind Pick your color.
Good luck with that.
Great. Thank you.
All right. And we have one of our Senate Convention bloggers joining us now. We asked a couple of our bloggers to come on.
Eric. How you doing?
This is Eric. Landwehr,
yes,
and
correct. Well done.
Coming us to us from the islands, from St. Lucia.
Right.
And happy to have you here.
Thanks.
He serves as a staff minister there.
Right, Minister of Christian Education at Trinity Lutheran Church.
How long have you been there?
Over 16 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And our mission has been there for, our work has been going on there for how long?
We've had a full-time pastor there since 1992. There was a part-time pastor in 91, and then pastors from Antigua would go back and forth to St. Lucia before that. So probably the 80s is when work started
there. I should have paid closer attention at the flag ceremony last night, because I'm sure they had that.
Yeah, but they had the wrong year. They said 97, and I didn't want to stand up in church and correct them, yeah.
Okay. Well, we were excited to have you join us and excited that you're blogging for us. I've really been enjoying your blog. You have a unique perspective, I think.
Thank you. I believe my wife was thinking there'd be more editorial work on what I put out, but it's been interesting. It's been fun.
Very good.
What kinds of things are you talking about in there?
Probably nothing of substance. So I figured that's for people with like the big brains, the other people, and I'm just there, to like add a little comedic relief to the whole thing. So I am probably much more of like the Twitter type. If I can keep it small and short, we'll do that and just have multiple little things in there and make just banal comments about nothing. So that's basically my style, no substance.
Right.
And you have a unique situation in that you're not here at convention alone. There are other Landwehr's.
Yes,
well.
Yeah, we brought the whole crew. My dad is a delegate, my brother is a delegate, and I am a delegate. So
you could swing some votes.
We've already established the voting block. And so, we're taking bids from the NIV-11, the ESV people, but we're going to want naming rights on whatever's done there.
And
this is how it's done. We need to support the mission in St. Lucia, and we figure this is a way we can accomplish this.
Very
so it's,
good. You could be all's
taken well that
care
ends
of
well.
By Thursday.
Who knows? We're taking bids now, so we'll see. And our pastor, our stateside pastor from St. Lucia is also here, so that's another addition to the block. So we're set.
We're going to have to look at that at the convention committee in a couple of years. We can't have this again.
Remember
the St. Lucia episode?
That's right. This could be the Landwehrian heresy could bring this thing burning down. Who knows?
Tell us about island technology. How techie are you in St. Lucia?
There's a lot of technology available on the island. Not so much in individual homes. I think 40% in the census, I think they had 40% of homes had some sort of way that they could connect to the internet inside the house. Most young people, everybody under 20, either has a phone that they get onto Facebook or tablet, computer, so they're on Facebook. So that's it. Facebook is a way where we do a lot of communicating, especially with our young folks. Like that's really the big way to do it. So they'll spend waste endless time on Facebook. So that's one thing that we use a lot. We also have a PowerPoint in church that we use, and people like that because then it's a visual, especially for those who aren't super literate. And sometimes
Spanish
with Lutheran hymns. It's English.
It is.
English is the official language.
Okay.
But our Lutheran hymns, you have all kinds of words like way too close together. So if you can have it up on the PowerPoint, it's a little bit easier for people to read that way. And then you can add pictures and stuff into what you're doing. So it makes it more visual. So we use PowerPoint a lot. Lots of cell phone use as far as texting and things like that. as far as communication. We've got a website that Pastor Brom, our St. Lucian pastor, he runs that.
Okay. You want the address of that is?
So yeah.
Can advertise that to the folks?
Sure, sure. It's www.islandlutherans.com.
Okay. Sounds like who wouldn't want to go to islandlutherans.com?
You know, we
can't send. That's the best
send,
of both worlds, right?
Right, right.
Pick of the week.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we can't send the weather, right. over the internet. But we can, you can see pictures of it, which is almost as good as being there.
Put up a kind of a weather cam or something for us.
Yeah, okay. Just so that when we're 90 degrees and 95% humidity, you can feel sorry for us, or is it
something like that?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So, impressions of convention so far.
It's all right. The whole vibe is a little different than what I've gotten accustomed to. Man, there are all kinds of white people in here. I don't know if you noticed that yet.
But it's all really white.
Yeah, it's rather odd. Yeah. And things start on time. Like the gavel banged at 8. I was just
What's the deal?
I walked in at 5:02, everybody was sitting down and going, "Whoa, what it's 5:02. We're supposed to be milling around. You maybe have a few people inside, but boy, timeliness, and they're like all rules and stuff." I'm a little shocked at that. So I'm trying to adjust a little bit to the, the cultural vibe of Wellsdon.
Get repatriated, once we're done here, Thursday. So.
That's probably going to be a little difficult. So I'm hoping just to skip out.
Okay.
The repatriation. We'll just
right after the vote. Right.
Yeah, that's okay. It. That's
very
it.
Good.
That's
well, it. Eric, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate your insights and blessings on your work. I'm looking forward to reading more of your stuff.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
definitely.
It. Lord's blessings.
Yeah. Have a cupcake for the
I will.
Yep.
Orange, my favorite color.
Beautiful. We knew that.
Thanks.
We have another Synod Convention blogger joining us now. And this is not a stranger to Wells Tech.
Been on before early on, I think.
That's right. I think it was episode 4.
Hello.
We have Harvey Dunn. And Harvey, I didn't get your congregation. It's in Colorado.
Right. It's Abiding Love in Loveland.
Loveland,
so it's if you know the town, you know the name, you know the town. So it works, works nicely.
You've done a little musical congregations lately. So the last time we talked to you, you were down in Texas, right?
I was. We came up to Loveland a couple of years ago with a job change and have fallen in love with Colorado. We sometimes have elk in our yard and that sort of thing,
nice.
Which
very nice.
Which is nice, a little unusual, but nice.
Yeah.
And love our new congregation as well.
Great.
So,
sure. Lots of opportunities, I'm sure, to serve. And you serve in a lot of ways with the Synod as well. One of your areas of expertise in your job is copyright. Law,
correct.
Is my understanding. And that's how we had you on the podcast originally.
Long time ago.
But yeah, back on episode 4, the first month of podcasting, you were with us and shared some information about copyright at that time.
Yep.
So we'll have to probably readdress that issue someday with you, because I'm sure
the landscape hasn't gotten a lot clearer, at least in my mind.
No, it hasn't.
Is that something you deal with at this point?
It is. I continue in my current job. I'm responsible for all of the intellectual property issues at the company, which means patents and trademarks,
sure.
But also copyrights.
Right.
So, I for better or for worse, still get involved in that a lot.
Okay.
Sure. We talk a lot about streaming issues and things like that on the podcast and want to do our best to protect our congregations,
sure.
And still, use technology to its fullest and share the good news with all these channels we have available to us. So
you're a blogger for
yes.
convention. You told me before convention started you'd never written a blog before.
Never written a blog. I'm totally clueless about all this. I've read blogs, but never actually thought
that
I would ever be.
That qualifies you as a blogger
apparently.
In the world that we call the internet today. So how's it going?
It's interesting, and interesting in quotes. It's in some ways easier, but in other ways harder than I thought it might be, because I want to say stuff, but then I think, am I saying it right, and not grammatically, but am I getting the names right or the facts right and stuff. So that, and you do want to get it right. I mean,
okay.
That's part of what you
so
want to do.
So he's the antithesis to Eric, I'm getting the impression.
Yeah,
Eric
thinking.
Is the softer side, the, and Harvey is the, here are the facts,
yeah.
Right? And maybe that's your legal background.
Probably is. I mean, I do hope I'm you know,
adding your own flavor to it.
Yeah, adding my own flavor. That's a good way of putting it. Yep. And it's not completely stale and.
No, I wasn't. You know. I didn't mean to suggest that at all.
Oh, yes, you did. No. But no, actually, and it's been sort of fun. Yesterday, it was by the time I got home after we had met and had a little bit of entertainment afterwards and fellowship and that sort of thing. And by the way, the fellowship is what really makes the convention. I mean, we're all here doing important work on behalf of the Synod, but the ability to get together with men and women from all over the country and have a chance to talk to them and see people you haven't seen in a long time, like Sally.
Yeah, that's
so, right.
I've been reading your blog posts and things, and I'm looking forward to your impressions as a committee secretary in particular, because you're one of my guys out there on the front lines working with the systems and typing things up, and hopefully that's going to go smooth for you as well.
Yeah, well, I hope so. We haven't actually started using the technology as far as Connect and that sort of thing. Everything we've done so far has been sort of in draft format, and partially because our committee, which is considering the translation feasibility or the feasibility of the Synod performing its own translation, there's actually a forum tonight, and we're expecting a lot of input and thoughts and concerns and pros and cons all to be expressed, and so we're sort of waiting to hear that and to absorb that and then factor that into what we as a committee ultimately come up with.
Your work is really valuable, absolutely, and appreciate your willingness to do that.
Well,
so,
it's fun
blessings
too.
On that, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. This is a pleasure. It's sort of neat to be back here after 5+ years or so.
A long time.
So it's thank you for asking me.
Our pleasure.
Much.
Thanks,
right.
Harvey.
Take care.
Take a cupcake.
Oh, absolutely. I've been salivating a little bit, so I'm going to take the blue one here.
Part of the 300th. It's big.
Well,
day.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks.
All right, another Synod Convention blogger and one of our Wells Tech friends is missionary Mike Hartman.
Hi,
from
Mike.
Mexico.
Hi.
So happy to have you here face to face. What a thrill.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
We've had Mike on at least, I want to say twice.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe
or Mike once. And Rachel once.
Yep.
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 So. And Mike and I get to interact once in a while, and I love working with the mission folks because, again, that passion, the same kind of story that we had with Gonzalo.
Definitely.
You know, you can tell that, you know, some of these guys just live and breathe the mission fields that they're in, and
right.
Mike, you're one of those guys. So
definitely.
How's convention going for you so far? You're a delegate, right?
Yes.
Not here in any other missionary type capacity.
No, I'm here as a delegate.
Okay.
So it's been really great. It's really something to, you know, to have these opportunities and to be able to get together. And I enjoy just the worship and the singing and
definitely.
And all the other things that go on as a church body. You know, when you're living in Mexico,
right.
You're a little bit a ways away from the heart of our church body. And sometimes you don't realize all the different things that are going on in our church. And so it's really encouraging to see those things as well.
Get that big picture.
Yep.
Yeah, so I have to ask you to tell your worship story because you weren't here alone at worship. You had your family with you as well, and you blogged about an experience from last night's opening service that I thought was really special.
Yeah, I thought you might ask me that. I think that's I'll try because for Rachel and I, one of the things that's really important to us is to help our kids understand why we live where we live, why we do what we do, and it's really important that they understand that as well. So, yeah. So last night, Rachel and I went to the opening service, and we thought our oldest Trinity was big enough to come along that mm-hmm. she would appreciate it and understand it, and so we sat her down, and she's sitting next to me, and during the first Kim, I look over and she's starting to cry. And I think, uh-oh, you know, a six-year-old cry, am I going to be carrying her and walking around? What's going on? And I go, Trinity, are you all right? And she goes, yeah, yeah. And she goes, Daddy, it's just so beautiful. The tears start coming out.
Oh, that's sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
very special. And that was In Christ Alone that we were singing together.
Yep.
She probably wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure she wasn't.
That was a neat experience. We're doing these Synod convention updates, and Nicole, my broadcasting partner, asked me what I thought about, you know, the highlights of that opening service, and that was, it came right away, mm-hmm. you know, with all of those voices. And another part was, and this is kind of related, is, you know, something as simple as everybody saying the Nicene Creed together, you know, that everybody's there, they believe the same thing, and they're confessing the same thing. And I mean, you must get some joy out of that, seeing that, you know, with the local, you know, the national pastors in Mexico, that there's that unity there too, and they're after the same thing.
Yeah, it is. And when you see these people here, but you realize they're just representing a lot more people, and that's really something.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Definitely. Tell us about technology in Mexico. What's happening? What's new?
Okay. Well, actually, the new thing that we're working on right now in Mexico is, we're working with multi-language publications. They, as you know, they have the new website, the mensajeroluterano.com, mm-hmm. and they're working with one of our local congregations in Monterrey to put in a recording studio in the basement of their church, and so I'm looking forward. I'm going to be going out there in October, and some of the multi-language publication people are coming down there and such, as we're helping to get that installed, get them trained on that.
And what kind of broadcast will they do from there?
Well, some of the broadcasts they do is you'd simply need, you know, and they want to make use of the native Spanish readers that can help put on devotions and such like that. Excellent. Other things, I think there's a lot of possibilities there. For example, you'll see in the video that I'm going to show tomorrow evening with my Mexico presentation of a short clip of our pastor, Carlos Cajas, and he's one of our pastors in Mexico, and he actually sings the song for the video. He's just very gifted in that, and I think that there's opportunities in doing that type of thing too. I'd love to be able to get some of the gifted musicians that we have and get them in to help produce material, whether it's songs and devotions and such for it. So I think there's a lot of opportunity. And one of the good things about using the Monterrey congregation is that's, I believe it's the largest Latin congregation outside of the United States. Okay. And so there are a lot of strong lay people, and so you have an opportunity to make use of a lot of lay people.
And how big would that be, the largest congregation?
Well,
any idea?
For outside of Wells, they have around 125 members.
That's awesome. So, okay.
Yeah.
One soul at a time.
Yeah.
One soul at a time. Definitely. Mike, it's good to have you here. Thanks for taking the time, and blessings on your work in your whatever subcommittee you're in, and enjoy the rest of the convention.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
It sounds like it's already been a good experience for you.
It has. It has.
Thanks.
Keep listening to Wells Tech.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a cupcake.
Thank you.
Say hello to your family
Happy
for us.
300.
I will. Take care.
All right. We have one more interviewee to join us. We have so many opportunities. Hi. This is Pastor Mark Gabb.
Hi,
he's joining us from St. Paul's in Beverly Hills, Florida.
Yep.
And we're happy to have you. We wanted to talk to you about an email newsletter that you're working on from there.
Yeah, I send out what's called a Daily Bread email. I've actually been doing it for about 15 years or 14 years.
Is that right?
I started out doing it just via email. Now I use MailChimp.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in fact, I ran into someone a couple hours ago and said, how are you getting up at 5 a.m. sending out the daily breads while you're here at convention? I told them, actually my secretary does some of that now, and she's got them planned already out till, I think, into the first week of August. So that's kind of a nice thing where
Absolutely.
You can just set it and
schedule them
awesome. A couple weeks ahead of time or even further out than that.
And that's a free product, so you're not paying anything?
Correct. It's free. Yep. Awesome. I think you can have up to like 5,000 subscribers or something like that before you pay anything for it.
I'm a subscriber, and I've made it a pick of the week before on the Wells Tech podcast.
Cool.
Yep.
So excellent.
I've gotten the word out from this end.
So how many people are receiving it at this point, Mark?
Right now it's about 140.
Awesome. Okay.
Yep.
Started, I suppose, inside the congregation, but is it getting outside?
It did. It started out inside the congregation. I emailed to my dad, who I think was your parents' pastor in Texas, and then he mailed it to members, and then I think like your folks emailed it to you. And so a lot of people end up, like with a lot of emails, end up forwarding it on to other people.
Those Wells connections.
Yes, exactly. No pun intended. And even for a while, I think it was, I had someone in China or something reading it, so it's
you
neat
never
to
know where that
word
is spread.
And once in a while, you get emails from someone you don't know just saying, hey, that was a perfect message for today. So that's encouraging for me, because sometimes you don't hear much and you're not sure how well read it is.
Is it worth it? Yes, is this a good stewardship of my time?
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
So describe for us maybe the content creation process. How do you come up with what you're going to write about? Is it based on that week's sermon, or where does
this couple things. Because I started doing this a long time ago, I have saved a bunch of them.
Okay.
So for the sake of time, I do some recycling.
A few of them. Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Where it started was I was doing my... my devotional work was reading a 365-day Bible. Mm-hmm. And so just to help me personally, I decided I'm going to just pick a verse, and then I'm going to limit myself to like 120 words. Okay. So I wanted it to be a prayer that someone could read in about 60 seconds or less, because I know you get a lot of emails, and if it's too long, you're going to bypass it.
Right.
So I wanted it to be short enough where people were able to read it if they get it on their inbox and the first thing when they get into work or whatever, or if it's they don't see it until the end of the day. So from there, I've tweaked some, rewritten some, and then I have there's another pastor in Virginia, Pastor Heath Butler. I've used some of his too, and he's used some of mine. So we've been able to share a little bit, especially.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So it's just kind of evolved into something that I keep doing, and once in a while I tell members, share this with other people, get the word out, and usually get a couple subscribers by doing that. And
great.
It doesn't take a lot of time anymore to do.
Uh-huh. Well, you mentioned you do get some feedback occasionally. Any big success stories? Anything stick in your memory as particular outreach opportunities?
I think more just it's interesting, because I think we've all had this when you read scripture yourself. Sometimes there's a certain verse that just hits you that day, and like, man, I needed to hear that.
Yep.
Sure.
And sometimes you get those passages from someone that just go, Pastor Gaff, that was exactly what I needed to hear today.
Right.
And again, sometimes it's from strangers. Sometimes, I have members who share it with their coworkers, and then it's a coworker that I've never met before, and he said, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Thanks for sharing that with me. And so it's those kinds of things where it just kind of re-emphasizes the value of spending time in God's Word each day.
Yeah.
And then it encourages me to keep doing that myself, not just sending them out, but for me to be spending time in God's Word each day too.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah, just that regular, dipping in, sharing, dipping in, sharing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that's where it started. I was on a trip in Israel. And Dr. John Lorenz, I can remember having a devotion, and he was talking about using technology. And this is when email was just kind of, email had been around for a while, but, and I can't remember exactly what his devotion was about, but I thought, I could probably just write a passage and send it to my members via email.
Yep.
And it just has kept going.
Right.
That consistency is important, I think.
Yep.
It helps you to be consistent. It helps us to be consistent to do this every week for 300 weeks or however long. And,
right.
And then your listeners begin to expect it and appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, my mom, when I slack off sometimes and haven't had enough in the queue, or I go on vacation, about 3 days after, she said, I think I've been missing your daily bread. So
moms are good at that. That's excellent. My mom's a big Wells Tech fan, so I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, Mark, impressions of the convention so far? It's your first convention?
It is my first Synod convention. The worship service last night was
awesome.
Fantastic. Devotion for today was great. Just how it brings everything into focus. I was telling my wife earlier today that the sermon was awesome last night, and the singing, the chapel, and just the spirit. I'm on the translation evaluation floor committee, and just the spirit among the guys in there. We have differing opinions, but yet the brotherly spirit there, where we can all share our opinions honestly, but yet
Goal.
Yeah, and we're not really judgmental of others in the sense that you're free to have your opinion, I'm free to have my opinion, because we recognize that this falls into the realm of Christian freedom.
Right.
So, and just the friendliness of everybody, and even MLC is doing an awesome job hosting it, the friendliness of everybody here in the cafeteria having greeters. So it reminds you of what a blessing it is to be a part of the Wells.
The believers.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Very
Thanks for taking the time, Mark.
Yeah, one more thing. Could I say hi to my wife and kids?
You sure
Which
can.
Camera do I?
Right here.
Right there. Hi, Angie, Maggie, Hannah, and Jacob. And Jacob, make sure you eat your vegetables.
You heard it here on Wells Tech.
Thank you, guys.
Mark. Excellent. A cupcake, please.
Oh.
Yeah, you eat your vegetables. Dad's going to have
to eat this, yeah.
All right.
I think we're out of interviews, right,
Sally?
We did
300 shows, Martin. Time to start planning for 301.
Yeah, I'm ready for another 300. How about you?
I think technology will keep us busy.
Okay. So what's 301?
301, we're heading back to our series on church and school website content, and we're going to be writing a new chapter in the ebook about forms. And I know congregations and schools have a need to gather data and use the web efficiently to do that. There's free ways to do it, and forms.
Yep.
That's where we're at.
Beautiful. Because where we are, I totally forgot to put music together, so it'll be a surprise. There will be music, but I'm not quite sure what it is. And it'll be from Koine.
Okay.
How about that?
That's a great way to celebrate 300 shows.
Sally, congratulations.
Yeah. Shake your hand.
All right. Give you the hug.
All right.
And thanks to the audience out there. We couldn't do it without them. So take care, everybody. Talk to you next week. Faith in
soul.